You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on and forward to big European action for our Scottish clubs. Celtic put in a very impressive performance to beat RB Leipzig 3-1 and take their Champions League points tally to 7. Rangers are in Greece ahead of tomorrow's meeting with Olympiacos, and it's Heidenheim at Tynecastle up next for Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley. Easy shift, half a show fee for you two, because too many talking points and the callers will surely be flooding in to praise Celtic last night.
Yep, and this man to my right has not stopped smiling since I've seen him. So he's like the cat, he's got the cream. But no, rightfully so. I thought, you know, Celtic were absolutely brilliant yesterday. I'm sure their fans are going to come on and tell us just how good they were, but watching the game, extremely impressed. Always really, really good to see a Scottish team do well in Europe, but, you know, they really dominated that game. As I said, you know, they wasn't back to the wall. They controlled it. They dominated the game. And for me, in the 9 years I've been here, I think that's the best performance I've seen from Celtic. I'm going as far as saying that.
I like that. You know how it's people always moan when people act like the Premier League started in English football started in 92.
Yeah.
It's like we're only supposed to take it from games that Marvin remembers since he came up here.
Oh, it's still a bit of a statement.
Your memory goes back further, but it was...
Well, he likes to remind me of that. It goes back a lot longer than his. I remember Celtic beating Lyon at Celtic Park. I was there just not long after I'd left. They beat them 2-0 on the night. A really good Lyon side. And I think last night was probably up there with that. You know, there's been big results Celtic have achieved in Europe over the years. We look at the Barcelona one. But you ride your luck in these games. You know, you're playing against the best. Last night, out with 10, 15 minutes that Leipzig had after they scored, and Celtic looked a wee bit nervy, they retrieved the situation. Their mentality came through. They reacted well to it. They got the goal. And after that, it was all Celtic. It was one of the most impressive performances I've seen in Europe from Celtic.
Come on then, how good was it? That's a simple question. We can just leave it there for you Celtic fans. How good was it? I know you'll fill in the rest about who was good and who in particular stood out and what you enjoyed and how it sets you up for the games going forward and how it does compare to some of those European performances in recent years. So let's work our way right through it between now and 8 o'clock. How good was it last night? 0141 951 1025. And of course then, heading into tomorrow, Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Philippe Clement. Our reporter Andrew McLean is out there in Greece. He's going to attend the press conference. He's going to come on and speak to us, give us all the updates, all the latest. No Tom Lawrence at training this morning, so you would expect that he would be the most notable absentee. What does your team look like? And what does this one mean? What's riding on this one? Because everybody at the weekend said, if Philippe Clement loses to Motherwell in the Cup semi-final, that could be him, that could be it done. What does this one mean? Because everybody will usually say that domestic football's the priority, but of course when you get in a bit of a rut, you can't really afford to put in more bad performances or bad results, or maybe even a win can turn things around. Let us know what you think this one means. What's riding on this one? And all your team lineup suggestions, you could do the same. Hearts fans as well, 0141 951 1025. A proper busy European midweek this, Marvin.
Yeah, it is a massive midweek, as you said there. You know, Celtic have started off extremely well. We see Rangers and Hearts both going to action tomorrow, and, you know, hoping for positive results for both of them. But in terms of Rangers, as you said, you know, I think it's another massive game for them. I think they're all going to be, you know, over the next wee while for Clement and the players. And they have to go out and put in a performance. I think that's going to be the main thing. I know they're never judged on what Celtic do, but when, you know, your bitter rivals put in that sort of performance, the Rangers fans are going to expect, and rightfully so, and the players need to turn up and, as I said, send them home happy.
Yeah, it feels like there's a kind of week-to-week game, or game-to-game more specifically, manner to all this with Rangers, Simon. The fans can tell us how they feel, but,
yeah,
you know, even after the weekend, there was a bit of grumbling about the performance, even though it was progression.
Yeah, listen, second half, much improved, got over the line. Semi-finals, the old cliches come out, just get through. Obviously, the Rangers fans are looking for more on the back of the disappointing start to the season, let's say. But they've come out with a couple of positive results in Europe, and they'll look to that again tomorrow night. You only have to look to the last card when all three teams get important points and really good performances. So every game, as you quite rightly say there, if Rangers Celtic, the focus is on all the time. At the moment, the focus is on Clement's team because they haven't been performing to a level that the Rangers fans want. But you tick that one off at the weekend, you go into this one, they've got an important game at the weekend. They just have to find a way at the moment, Rangers.
Some period this, Marvin, because you go from League Cup semi-finals, we've now got the lineup for the final, straight into big European games. You know, one of those weeks where you know, three separate and equally important competitions in the space of a week.
Yeah, exactly that. And it's not one of them that the manager can afford to rest players. I know he tried to do that at Aberdeen and they end up losing the game. You know, you have to go into tomorrow's game as if it's, you know, your life depends on it. And then, like you said, on Sunday, they have a massive, massive game against Hearts where they have to keep the pressure on Aberdeen and Celtic and keep trying to, you know, close that gap because it could be extended by the time they actually kick off. So, yeah, listen, when you play for a massive club like Rangers, that's the way it is. You know, no one's out here feeling sorry for the players or anybody else. The manager's assembled a squad and it's about time they click into gear now.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's do it. Let's do it in the phones. Give us your thoughts on last night, Celtic fans first. We will hear from Philippe Clement when they attend that press conference in Greece. So give us all your thoughts. If you'd rather tweet as well, maybe you could just answer the question: last night was Celtic's best European performance since? And we can leave it there and you can tell us, because I know there have been good results. What about the performance? Let's do it on the phones as well. Stephen is in Kirkintilloch. What do you think, Stephen? Best European performance since, what, in a while anyway?
Oh yes, I'd say in a number of years, guys. You know, I think Celtic showed fantastic character last night after going a goal down. I was lucky to be there with my son. The atmosphere was electric, as it always is, but you know, I went there last night. I really did think that we would get a result. I thought we were flying high and riding a crest of a wave. It was just fantastic. The performance was brilliant. I mean, I think you could use so many different words to describe it, but they were just fantastic.
What impressed you most, Simon? You were there, I take it.
I was indeed, yes, I was indeed. And as Stephen says, the atmosphere was excellent on the night. What did I take from it? I think everywhere in the park, you're never ever going to control 90 minutes in a game, particularly a Champions League game. And after a really good start in the game, I thought Celtic were comfortable in possession, were pressing really aggressively. The front three were working their socks off. There was a little lull in the game when Leipzig got to grips with things for 10-15 minutes. They applied a bit of pressure. They won some set plays, scored from one of the corners. They had another chance. And I've seen Celtic teams fold in those situations. I think this team have got a bit more mentality about them. They're gaining experience as they go. They're obviously taking huge confidence from the semi-final at the weekend. I was impressed with the reaction. They score a fantastic goal. We'll discuss that tonight, whether he means it or if it's a cross into an area. But they recovered really well from that. And then the goal on half-time epitomised everything for me, because they pressed again. It was almost as if Leipzig beat the press. I think somebody nutmegged Maeda on the far side. But there was four or five Celtic players refusing to give it up. And they win the ball back and it falls to Hatate, who's got the composure to get in there and set the second goal up. I thought that epitomised everything. Celtic, and then went on to play the second half, really impressive. Brave on the ball, in their own half at times, making the right decisions, keeping the ball, allowing themselves up the pitch. I just thought it was an all-round excellent performance.
Yeah, totally agree with that. You know, it's all about having good players who are good on the ball and technically very, very good, but when you work as hard as Celtic do off the ball, you're going to be a match for most teams. I would admit, going into that game yesterday, I expected maybe Celtic to get a draw out of it. If they were to win, I thought they would have nicked it, but it was nothing like that. It wasn't the sort of game that I thought where Celtic were going to have to counter, etc. They didn't do that. They really, really dominated on the ball. And that's why I say it's not just about the result. The performance from that game was absolutely magical, as Stephen's saying.
I mean, Stephen, I'm sure you could go through them all. Is there one in particular, if I made you pick one, the standout? Was it Nicholas Kuhn? Was it someone else?
Well, to be... Obviously, I think Nicholas Kuhn was a showstopper, you know. Obviously, I'd like to put a wee special mention in for Callum McGregor. I thought it was so, what an unbelievable performance. But Nicholas has came to the forefront, you know. He really got us back into the game when we looked as if we were slightly faltering a wee bit, you know, after going behind with the goal. And it looked as if there was maybe an opportunity for Leipzig to get another goal there. But that goal for Nicholas totally changed the whole complexion of the game, fired the team up, and listen, I think he's going from strength to strength. I think he's just turning into an absolutely wonderful player after all the initial difficulties of moving when he first came here. But unbelievable player, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, because that's the if you just took that Nicholas Kuhn performance and recent performances overall, to be honest, but particularly last night, if you took that in isolation, that would be worthy of all this praise anyway. But Stephen says this is added to the fact that he got the Glasgow treatment last season where everybody thought straight away, yeah, not sure this guy's going to do. So add all that together, it, really it, was, impressive. It was impressive,
really
wasn't it?
Really impressive. He's becoming a real threat, a real match winner. His assists and goals already this season is so good. His outside of the boot pass to Maeda last night was sensational. Unfortunately, Maeda put it over the bar because it was out of this world. He did one similar in pre-season, and he's taken that form for pre-season and just kicked on. As you say, Gordon, people are quick to assess, and sometimes we're guilty ourselves of thinking, you know, at the beginning, making opinions on people. But he is going from strength to strength.
Yeah, he's written off though, wasn't he? And that shows that kind of mental strength, because listen, players see social media. There's no doubt about it. And when he was struggling, and we know there was a dental problem and he lost weight and all these other things, people had written him off. And it'd be really interesting to see someone call up this show to say, you know, I did write him off at the start to where he is now. So he's shown that mental side of it. But yeah, listen, the goals yesterday were absolutely brilliant. His pass, I know some people are saying it was a cross, but for me, he's definitely
going
for
it. You think he meant it?
Yeah. I think he came inside and he meant to bend it into that far corner.
Not so sure.
Simon's
not
sure.
I get carried away in the comments.
He's an attacking player, that's why. He's just jealous of it, that you've never done anything like that.
I get carried away. I described it as Dalglish-esque against Spain. I don't know if I'm going to maybe just get caught.
Nah, great finish. Don't be that guy.
Are you sure?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Because I was, do you know what? When I watched it, it didn't even cross my mind that it wasn't a shot. You know, did not cross. And then someone was trying to convince me today and was showing me, and there's certainly something about the way he hits it that's unusual then.
There's something in his makeup. See, if you watch, he's had an assist for that. And earlier in the game, he tries to pick out Kyogo there.
You think if you're shooting, you wrap it a bit more? He seemed to sort of...
shot. I've been a player in that position going on my left foot.
We'll stop it right there.
They put it in the green section in the corner. It doesn't really matter, to be fair.
It does not matter. He puts it in a fantastic area. And listen, it turns the whole thing for Celtic, because for that 10, 15 minutes after Leipzig scored, it almost sapped the energy out of the whole stadium, crowd and team.
Yeah.
But then that re-energised it and Celtic came back to life and kicked on from them.
He then, after the goals, there was a period in the game where he was gliding around the place.
Yeah.
I think it was at that point where he picks the pass.
Yeah. He didn't actually start that great either, which is the weirdest thing to say.
I think Brendan himself said that he wasn't too happy with his passing at the start.
Yeah.
And there was one or two times, I didn't realise it was specifically Kuhn at the time, but we're right there at the press box and you can see Brendan, there was a couple of times he was getting frustrated. Not quite like...
He's almost
like
on his heels.
The Hamden one tries to put the ball away. But But boy, did he come to the fore. Oh. You know, in moments in the game, he gets the two goals. He looked a real threat. Obviously, confidence on the two goals looked a real threat getting into the second half. Was involved in the third goal, you know, with the overlap for Johnson. So his numbers are sensational at the start of this season.
Yeah, thank you to Stephen. We're getting tweets coming in as well about sort of how that performance ranks for you Celtic fans. Well, Brendan Rodgers says it's his best ever Champions League result with the club.
Yeah, I think in terms of the level of opponent, yeah, I would say it actually wasn't just the result but the performance. I think we played the game with a great charisma and confidence and how we want to play and show the courage in our pressing. They've only conceded 5 goals all season. So to play to that level then against that, then most definitely. We've had some really good results, but that definitely would be the best one. I tip my hat to the players, and it means in the next 4 games we can have a real confidence to go and make the playoff stage, but still such a long way to go.
Let's bring in Thomas and get his thoughts. How good, Thomas? We know it was good, but where did it rank for you?
For the evening panel, for me, it was. I know people were talking about the Barcelona result and all that, you know, but we all know that was like the 11% possession. But for me last night, I mean, Leipzig are second in the Bundesliga, and not only did we beat them, we outplayed them, and we had the cheek to give them a goal head start. I just hope we were brilliant. The atmosphere at the start of the game, I thought Bratislava's atmosphere was brilliant, but my God, that blew out the water. And just like the last caller said, the mention for me, I mean, Cal McGregor was like a man possessed when you see the stats of him at the end of the game, and even Nicholas Kuhn, he just gets better and better. And I think for me, Celtic fans, when you see the build up to the Aberdeen game and how good the first game went, then you follow that into the game last night after the performance with Atlanta. It's just that over the last few days, I think for every Celtic fan, I think we're just absolutely flying as fans. We're loving what we're seeing. And I mean, if it gets better than this, then it's going to be some season. But that was just outstanding last night. Can you believe what I was watching at times?
Yeah, what did you make of Callum McGregor? Because inevitably on those nights when things don't go well, take Dortmund or whatever, people then leap on that and say Callum McGregor can't do it at this level. And then along with his teammates, obviously, he more than answered that last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he really knitted the game together for me. I think he was absolutely pivotal in, you know, taking off from the defenders and then playing forward or driving forward, as we saw him do yesterday as well. I was so surprised that they didn't have anyone on him. And it's almost like a lack of respect. They came with the 4-4-2 formation, which works perfectly for Callum McGregor because he sits in that pocket, he gets on the ball, and he made Celtic tick. I don't think there's anyone out there, and definitely in the country, as good as him as doing that. But yesterday, he took his game to another level. And it's so interesting that he's retired from international football. And for me, it seems like he's kicked on again this season. And, you know, that showed again yesterday where he took his game to another level. So it must be a joy, as Thomas was saying there, if you're a Celtic fan, to not only watch the team, but, you know, watch Callum McGregor in that sort of form as well.
I mean, there were a couple, but there was that one, that real driving run, wasn't there, where he nicked off someone. And the pace to kind of, there was so much about it that, you know, Thomas mentions, yes, Barcelona was an amazing result. And by the way, I think we know Barcelona are a better team than the Leipzig were, but that was more about the kind of nicking something.
Yeah. Luck, yeah.
But it felt like we don't really see many nights against like good Bundesliga opposition where the Scottish team looks like quicker and stronger and tactically better. You know, it seemed to have like it all
did.
Of that.
Yeah, it did. That run, just highlights it. You know, he picked it up in his own half, looked up, there wasn't really much on at the time, and he's just drove, and I think he drove away for two of the Leipzig midfielders, who you always look at German teams. I know there was, surprisingly, there was only one German in their starting 11, but you look at them, they're strong, athletic. He was running away from them. I thought his all-round game, reading of the game, nicking things, as a team going in three and fours, winning the ball back, he keeps the ball brilliantly. See, at the beginning of the third goal, he's put under pressure in his own final, or Celtic's first third, rather. And he doesn't panic. He kind of wheels round, protects the ball, keeps the play going. Eventually, it moves forward. Celtic move forward and scores from Hatate. I thought he was a real captain's performance in there alongside Hatate, who I thought was outstanding as well.
Because that, like, sort of complete control, Marvin, these, the kind of stats that people mention, they're not everything. They don't really matter. But I just mean in terms of, if you're trying to build a complete picture at that level of the Champions League, to have far more passes, to have completed far more of them, to have covered more distance, it just felt different. Like I say, teams should always be able to go in and get a result.
Yeah.
And you might have your chances and they have theirs, and I'm sure they had one or two. But it just feels like overall, by any measurement, by any criteria, it was a real controlled one. That's what seemed to stand out, wasn't it?
Yeah, Celtic, like you said there, they dominated the game. You know, it wasn't an element of luck to it, like you said, with the Barcelona one, even a point away at Atalanta when they kept, you know, missing chances. In terms of yesterday's game, they dominated it. There's no one that can come away from that game and say Celtic didn't deserve to win that game of football. And it's very rare you find that in the Champions League, as you said, especially with a Scottish team playing against a German team who sits second in the league, and as Brendan alluded to there, only conceded 5 goals. So if you're a Celtic fan, you're absolutely delighted. Yes, not only with the 3 points, which is, you know, the most important thing, but the performance the players put in. And, you know, you saw, like I said, Hatate and McGregor and other players, listen, can mention all of them, you know, really, really performed out of their skin. Yeah.
There is a slight delay to Rangers' press conference in Greece. Not loads, so it will be here at some point. Stick with us. We're on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, where Flinney says this was our best performance since, which I asked you to answer, fill in the blanks, beating Ajax 3-1 in Amsterdam. Mm. That wasn't yesterday. So no, high praise from Flinney. Get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number. Absolutely no prizes for guessing. It's all about Celtic's performance last night. We will cross over live to our reporter Andrew McLean, who is in Greece with Rangers. There was just a slight delay to them arriving for that press conference, but it will be with you when we can. Let's keep going with Andy, who's on the line. How good was it, Andy?
It was very good, Gordon. Sorry for being a spoiler here, but it was the best since the last home game. I've got to look to you right enough. I was actually thinking the Lyon game that Simon mentioned earlier. I think that Simon was at the game.
Liam Miller scored. I forget. Did he cut off the other one?
He just cut off.
What year was
back.
That?
Well, I'd early left 2000s. Celtic. It'd have been early 2000s, yeah. Before you get your little dig in.
I didn't. No, I'm not going to say anything. No. I had nothing to say.
And it was about, in colour. It wasn't
it was about
anything like that.
It was about 12 years BM.
Yeah,
Marvin.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that wasn't important.
Andy just broke up. But yeah, it was, I suppose, as well, if you want to take it away from the tactics and the physicality, I think Simon alluded to, even just the character of going behind, because actually there was a spell then where you think, how often does Celtic do this? Yeah. Yes, they play quite well, then they concede, and then the full thing falls apart, and you're left sort of wondering if you'll ever win again in this competition. You know, it feels like those days are moving into the past.
And that's why I say, you know, it's all so impressive, because you put all of those things together, and you know, there's a few groans from the crowd as well when, you know, Celtic were playing it back at 1-0 down. And like I said, to have the character to stick to your game plan and believe in each other, and you know, you need in like the big players to take the game by the scruff of the neck, and they then do that and you go on to win. So all of these things, you know, you combine them all together. That's why I think it was such a good result and good performance. And listen, you have to give Brendan Rodgers a lot of praise as well, because structurally, I don't care what he says. I think they've changed since the Borussia Dortmund game. You know, obviously they went there and we all know what happened. But he's got it tactically spot on. So yeah, it's been absolutely brilliant for him.
I don't care what Brendan Rodgers says. Slams Super Scoreboard pundit.
Yeah, someone be in the room right now, won't they?
Yeah, let's bring in, I don't know where Andy is, quite frankly. We'll try and get him back. There was nothing sinister. I didn't press anything. Let's go to Charlie, who's on. How are you, Charlie?
Hi, good evening. How are you doing?
Not bad, Charlie. What did you make of last night then? How would you sum it up?
Oh, it's superb. It's the best performance I've ever seen for a Celtic team.
Oh, ever, right, okay. How old are you?
I'm 56.
That's high praise.
I've been to a hell of Simon. A lot of games.
That's high praise.
Ignore that, Charlie.
What in particular then? Why was this one so good?
Callum McGregor last night, that was a true captain's performance. I'm glad he's chucked to Scotland, because we're seeing the best of him now. I don't know what made me do it last night. I sat and I watched him, and the way he was organising the players all through the game, it was amazing. Nicholas Kuhn, what a player that boy turned out to be. At the end of last season, people were saying, oh, he's not good enough. But he said, give me a pre-season, and we're seeing it now.
Did you always believe in him, Charlie? Did you have your doubts about Nicholas Kuhn, or were you always sort of hoping that some or expecting something to come good?
I was expecting something to come good. But what you need to realise is the boy came mid-season. They told you he'd been through an operation. He lost a lot of weight. But he's come back to that pre-season. People were worried about Jota. I think we've found him.
Yeah, people keep contacting me to say, can you track down that Austrian football journalist that came on when Celtic signed Nicholas Kuhn? Too many nice things to say. I don't know if he still answers his phone, that guy. I'll try and find him. But maybe we need to find Nicholas Kuhn's dentist as well. The guy that made him lose the weight, suffer the form last season, and
he looks
absolutely
looks strong.
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
He's like a low centre of gravity, but he looks strong, holding players off, using his body. Listen, he's been so impressive this season.
Is
so
that adapting though, Si? Like you say, he now looks stronger. Like in training and stuff, being a up against boys, going to be physical.
It might be. I just think, you know, going back to these pre-season games where sometimes you think, don't read too much into them. I thought his form was excellent, and he's just kept that going. You know, assists, a threat.
Well, his
going
numbers
forward,
are incredible, aren't they? This
goals,
season.
He's finished at the weekend. He seems to just be improving and reveling in this successful Celtic team.
I think that's a fair point. I know we're always desperate to compare, and maybe we don't have to, but Charlie brings it up. Maybe for a while there, Celtic fans wondered if they could ever really replace the Jota level. You know, is Nicholas Kuhn shown the early signs of being that kind of talisman out wide?
Yeah, I think he's shown early signs, definitely. But, you know, Jota had that kind of longevity in terms of doing it, which for me still has him ahead of Nicholas Kuhn, but he's definitely heading in the right direction. But I think we're too quick, aren't we, to kind of compare to other players. He probably doesn't want to be compared to Jota. He wants to be his own man, and he's definitely going in the right direction to be that. You know, like you said, the ball goes to him. he gets bums off seats, and that's what wingers are there to do. And as Simon said, his numbers are brilliant. But, you know, also putting a shift at the weekend defensively as well. He's shown an all-round game now, a maturity to his game that, you know, must delight, you know, Brendan Rodgers and the rest of the coaching staff.
Charlie, it was starting to see sort of what people thought they were getting from Brendan Rodgers when he came back, because everyone kind of knew that Celtic were probably still in front domestically. He had done all that before, but there was so much said about trying to create some big European performances and results. So we're starting to see that.
Yeah, we're starting to see it now. And they need to keep it up. Not just for Celtic, but for the whole of Scottish football. And Celtic, they do their reputation a bit of good as well, because past few seasons, they've not really... They've put the performances in, but they've never had the victories.
Well, not even the last few seasons. A lot of the stuff that was said after Dortmund. From people in Scotland, from people outside of Scotland.
And it was getting thrown at Brendan Rodgers as well from his previous time here, because there was a couple of heavy defeats back then as well. And I think also the word embarrassing was used after that game. And, you know, Celtic fans want to watch the way they react to a successful team in the park last night. That's where they believe they belong. That's what the performances they want to see. And the players and Brendan Rodgers have answered a few critics, because I think Brendan said himself after that Dortmund game, with the Atalanta away and Leipzig next, if you'd said to anybody we're going to get 4 points, you know, there wouldn't have been many out there out with Celtic minded people would have believed them. So they've answered their critics pretty well. They've still got 4 games to go. They're in a great position halfway through the campaign.
Let's hear on that topic. Brendan Rodgers says he feels Celtic have discovered they can compete with Europeans' elite sides.
We've discovered in the last 2 games that we can be really competitive. If you'd have said after the Dortmund game, you know, that we'd have got 4 points from Atalanta and Red Bull Leipzig, then probably not too many people would have said we would have done that. We've discovered that we can play at the level, so it's a great next step. So to have 7 points after 4 games, especially with the level of opponents that we've played, gives us a great encouragement. It's a great performance. It was a great night for the football club, and we'll take that energy into our next games. There's been obviously a lot of criticism around the club at this level, but listen, we just want to be a competitive team at this level.
In terms of the points tally, everyone's had this 10 in their mind, because again, you assumed at the beginning that the playoffs would be the best Celtic could achieve, and they looked at the 10 points to now be on 7 with home games against Bruges, who are drawing 0-0 at half time with Aston Villa, by the way. Young Boys, and a away trip to Croatia as well. Can Celtic just aim even higher than that, or you still just got that magic 10 in your head?
I think they get to the magic 10 first. I don't think Brendan Rodgers will let them look beyond that, because all of a sudden you play those 3 games, you're still on 7 points. You know, you're still at the top table, you still have to be at your best to achieve results, whether it's draws or victories. You know, you're playing in the Champions League at the end of the day. So, yeah, listen, he'll let Celtic fans get excited in terms of, you know, looking beyond that 10 points, but that'll be their first aim, because, you know, they can pick up 3 points in the next game. Should they go on to win that, then they'll move on from there. But, you know, I think his kind of thoughts are firmly focused on the next game now, and like he said, bringing that energy again.
You got them top 8 yet?
Not quite, no.
Top 4?
Not quite. What I think, you know, the players will take from the performance last night, and probably the one in Atalanta where it was a different kind of performance, backs to the wall a wee bit, having to defend a lot. The performance last night, I think, will give them belief that they can match teams of that ilk or that stature. I mean, they're second in the Bundesliga. I know people will say they've got no points, but they've beat by Liverpool. Their first defeat in so many domestically against Dortmund at the weekend. They're a top side. So I think that in itself will rub off on the squad. I think give them more belief.
So you think Brendan Rodgers will feel really vindicated then, because after Dortmund or some of the other games, people said that you can't get points playing that way, you know, playing the normal way. Whereas it was kind of the exact same performance that Celtic put in against Aberdeen a couple of days before, was it not?
Yeah.
Stylistically, I mean.
Listen, I went on record of the Dortmund game. I don't think Celtic got a chance in that game to set up. I don't think people say they went gung-ho. I think they got caught cold, and the game can run away from you very, very quickly, and it did against Dortmund. Celtic did not perform. For a team like Celtic to get anything on this level, they have to play 9-10 players out their skin, and that's what they got last night. You can't take any opposition lightly. So does it vindicate or does it justify what Brendan's saying? Marv reckons there's been little tweaks there. What I seen last night was 11 players playing at the top of their game with the ball and without the ball.
Ewan is on the other line. What did you make of it, Ewan?
Evening panel. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, to be honest, which you can't always say after a Celtic Champions League night, to be honest. But it's just, to be, the Champions League nights at Parkhead are world renowned and you always enjoy the occasion, win, lose or draw. But to actually enjoy the game and the spectacle of it on the park, the football, it's quite a rare beast, to be honest. But that's exactly the way I felt last night watching it. I just felt like Leipzig had no answer for us, absolutely none. They obviously get the goal, and then you think, oh, brilliant, we're giving ourselves a mountain to climb again. But we didn't look fazed, even. There was a wee spell for maybe 5-10 minutes after they scored, we were a bit ropey. But then after that, we just completely controlled and dominated the game. And see, for about 70 minutes onwards, Leipzig just wanted up the road. You could just tell, they had no answer. And it was, to be able to sit in Parkhead and watch us do that to a Champions League opposition of quite a decent calibre is quite rare.
That's a really good point about, it did look like Celtic genuinely sort of knocked the stuffing out of Leipzig.
Yeah.
You know, quite often you can tell Ewan's like scarred by a lot of these Champions League nights. He says it's nice to be able to enjoy one. But, you know, even generally speaking, at that level of European competition, even when you go 3-1 up, definitely 2-1, you should probably still be feeling a bit nervous and you should maybe expect some sort of backlash, and it just never came. It was always, it was controlled right up until the end when Celtic probably could have scored more, couldn't they?
Yeah, I don't think the backlash came because Celtic were in control of the ball. You know, there's nothing Leipzig could have done. They tried to press at times and Celtic played through them. They didn't go away from, you know, their game plan throughout the whole game. If they gave the ball away, they worked extremely hard to get it back. And that's something that I always label at Celtic. It's fine being good on the ball. I felt against Dortmund, you know, they were really expansive, but off the ball, I don't think they worked nearly hard enough. They worked so hard yesterday to get that ball back. You know, the second goal really showed that on the, you know, stroke of half time, where one player gets beaten, but there's somebody else there. He gets beaten, there's somebody else there, and they end up turning the ball over and then getting a goal. I think the belief was there for everyone to see yesterday. But yeah, as you said, you know, Leipzig didn't have the ball to do anything. Celtic's rotations were absolutely brilliant. And as Simon was saying earlier, Callum McGregor plays a massive part in one of the goals. He gets it in a tight area where normally people say, oh, hit it into a channel, hit it forward. He didn't go away from that. You know, his teammates began to move. They played through the lines. And it's a fantastic team goal. So all around yesterday, Celtic, brilliant. But as I said, you can be brilliant off on the ball, but if you're not brilliant off it, you won't win games.
You see that
football.
Quote from Kevin Campbell, the Leipzig player, maybe summed it up for you know, the opposition player to say. He said, we tried to press Celtic high up the park, but they always had an answer. Mm-hmm. It actually felt like we were continuously running all game, like we were in a marathon. And it really did look like that, didn't it? Because it was the same... talk about patterns of play or whatever, I'll leave you coaches to give me the terminology, but you know, it was the same deliberate stuff the way Celtic were working it in certain areas.
Listen, it's a real hats off to Celtic. You know, that's a backhanded compliment, if you like, the way he felt in the game. But as Marv says, the way Celtic worked off the ball, starting for that front three, you know, right from the off, putting pressure. There was a couple of times actually Leipzig almost get caught in their own box with it. And I'm thinking, do you not watch Maeda and Kyogo and guys like this, the way they press every week? They're not going to give you an absolute second. I think they actually got a foul for it, Kyogo and Maeda, and they almost nicked in.
That's what, he tripped him, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, he's not watching this, how this Celtic team, you know, press from the front.
And that's a lack of respect.
I don't know. But that was what jumped into my head. I mean, if I'm playing against Maeda, I'm not hanging about with the ball. I'm moving the ball a lot quicker than what they were doing, because he's not going to stop, you know, harassing you until you make a mistake. And I just thought that set the tone for the game. I thought at moments in the game as well, though, the centre-backs were really aggressive. Second half, a couple of times, situations, Trusty and Carter Vickers. And then, we haven't spoke about it, at 2-1, Schmeichel has a hell of a save.
Yeah.
So there's little bits throughout the 90 minutes that Brendan Rodgers will look back and go, you know what, that was a really good team performance from everybody from start to finish.
It was a vintage Daizen Maeda night, wasn't it, where he did some absolutely wonderful things and then showed a couple of moments that you're like, ah, that's why it's still, you know, there are still limits, the fresh air shot. And he's poor Nicholas Kuhn's night could have been even better, because it would have been one of the assists of the season for the one that he ballooned over the bar.
Yeah,
but you can't have it all, I suppose.
You can't have it all, but it deserved a goal, that pass. Really bad. If I'm Coon, I'm going, come on, Dan, give him a chance. Stick that in the net.
Right, thank you very much to Ewan. Good time to get your calls in whilst I tell you all about this. Win explosive. That must sound pretty good. How could it not? £250,000 into someone's bank account on Friday, guaranteed. It is the biggest cash prize on radio anywhere this week. And just imagine your bank account as that cash goes in, refreshing the app. Hugh Keevans is wondering what that means. He would go down to the bank and ask them to tell them what it was, and it would be £250,000 better off. Text yes to 61025. Text are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rio Network competition are on our website. The lines close 5pm on Friday. There's no phrase, no amount to remember. You don't have to pick up within five rings. Just answer your phone and the £250,000 would be yours. And it is a guaranteed winner. Someone will win the lot. Make sure it's you. Make sure it's got a chance of being you. Text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here in 0141 951 1025. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. So do get your thoughts into us on last night's performance, which I'm sure you were impressed with, Celtic fans. What about Paul, who's on the line? What jumped out for you, Paul?
Thanks for taking my call. Every Celtic player to a man was superb, but a player that's just went under the radar last night was Rio Hatate for 90 minutes, probably for the first time. We all know he gets took off probably after an hour, but for the 90 minutes, he chased and harassed everybody, and I just felt that it just went under the radar a wee bit.
I think you're right in the sense that we've made it 50 minutes in and no one's mentioned him, and he absolutely deserves a mention, doesn't he?
I think he was maybe the best player on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Him and McGregor.
Yeah,
I think Hatate, I thought he had a great game at the weekend. It was really interesting to listen to Brendan saying when he's at it, when he's up and at it, his football comes to the fore. He obviously knows him better than most. He's working with him every day, but whatever has been chatted about the last two games, you know, shows everything that Hatate can do. The way that his awareness in the midfield of the pitch, it's not easy on the half turn and little blind things in behind you. He seems to know where everything is. I love how sometimes he lets the ball run across his body rather than take a touch, because that split second can open things up just a little bit quicker. Some of his play last night was out of this world. As Paul says there, off the ball as well, the little nutmeg in the middle of the pitch.
Tremendous.
And drifting away, you know.
But at a time when you would be forgiven for just like, just going to keep it simple for a second.
Gordon, he got caught. I watched him the first half. He tried to take one on the turn, slightly blind in the first half, and got caught. But see, for all those ones, he always tries to do something positive, you know, with the ball. And the one like at the second half, he drifts away. He fizzes a fantastic ball to Kyogo. If that gets into me, it's one of the team goals of the season. But I thought he was the top man.
I'm not saying he's immune from criticism, and I'm sure his form does dip from time to time, Marvin. But you know, I think it was the Bratislava game. There was a debate on here.
Yeah.
And actually, it's really difficult for Paulo Bernardo because he's been excellent.
He was good
as well.
Really
so.
Well, yeah.
But then Rio Hatate hits those levels Sunday and last night, and you just think, let's never have that debate again. But then, you know, well, it'll come in sort of swings and roundabouts. But when he's at his top level like last night, you can see exactly why more often than not he'll get the nod in the big games.
Yeah, and that's why I was so baffled when we were having those discussions, because I was like, Hatate has to start. But as you said, you know, when he does hit those levels like he did yesterday, and I agree with Simon, I think he was the best player on the pitch. I think when you're that one that's trying to make forward passes and you're trying to make the team tick in that final third, you know, and like you said, at times you're going to give the ball away, but he kept on getting on the ball, kept on getting it in pockets, worked really, really hard. Rotations were brilliant. playing forward passes, and I know exactly the pass that Simon's talking about because it was out of this world. Mm. I totally agree. When he's in that sort of form and he's in that sort of mood, as Brendan said, whether it's because he's running around and working a little bit harder, his football comes to, you know, the forefront of everything, I'm unsure. But whatever he needs to do to get to those levels, he needs to continue doing, because like that, for me, he is, you know, he's breathtaking and he outshines a man that's, you know, been brought in for £11 million playing as another number eight.
I think they've maybe had a chat as well. I think there's maybe been a discussion there because, as I say, really interesting what Brendan's comments were, but he goes down on his back in the left-hand corner just minutes before the final whistle, mm-hmm. and Brendan's gesturing to the fans, you know, show your appreciation.
Yeah.
And I think it's the effort that the team are putting in, but Hatate there as well. And then you watch them at the end when the final whistle, he was flat out, he'd gave everything.
That's what you expect though, isn't it?
Of course it is, but there is
an acknowledgement there from sort of what you hear, that he's a bit more of a complex character than some of them, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's fine. So just about trying to make sure you can always get the best.
I think if there has been a conversation, and you just have to, then the manager will say, well, look at your last two performances.
Proof's in the pudding, isn't it? Yeah.
Kick on from there, because he was excellent.
Paul, you must be pretty confident of at least a playoff spot now.
Yeah, I think 2 winnable games, but you've got to keep the levels up. That's the main thing. You can't let the standards drop, and I think that's the main thing with all teams in Europe, isn't it? Like, you've got to just keep going and going, and I think Brendan's seen a different way of playing, especially at Atlanta. That's the thing.
Do you think that was a important one then, Marvin and Simon? Had Atalanta not gone to plan, and we said, look, sometimes you might even look at moments in that, and it could have gone another way. There was some last stitch defending, some chances missed. Had that not gone to plan, can you do last night? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that your platform actually to go and produce something like last night?
I think so. I think, like, Marv might agree with me. I'd go back to my day when you played against teams. We played against a really good Liverpool team the season we won the league, and I mean, we only drew it, we went out in away goals, but as a group we came away from it thinking, you know what, we're actually okay. It gives you belief, and I think after the heavy defeat in Germany, they didn't need convincing, but they needed a result to go out and say, right, you know what, we are good enough here, we can get points on the road. And I do think that was something to recover from, that result, and build on. Domestically, they seem to be sweeping everybody away. They're very strong. They still have to go and do it in the semi-final at the weekend, but they look as if they've taken something from that. It almost turned their campaign round. As you say, if they go to Italy and
get beat,
another heavy defeat, mm-hmm. you know, it does dent your confidence. I think it's the opposite effect. I think it's given them huge belief to go on and build on it, and then you see the result last night.
Thank you to Paul in Motherwell. Rangers fans, it might be a good time for you to get in touch, because Philippe Clement has been in the press conference, and we'll go live to Greece and hear from our reporter Andrew McLean and the Rangers manager. So give us a call, but we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. We were going through a bit of a dry spell for the listeners, but finally we got a victory on the board against Hugh Keevans last night. Simon and Marvin are much worse than him as well, so you've got an opportunity. 01419511025. The lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. 01419511025. Give us a call. What are you making of last night's Champions League performance and victory? Celtic fans, give us a call. Rangers fans, this might be the perfect chance for you to get in touch, because we're going to go live to Greece. We're going to speak to Andrew McLean. He's been at the press conference. He'll give us the inside track on what's happening there. We'll hear from Philippe Clement. So how are you feeling? What's riding on this one? What is the feeling going into this? Because everyone said at the weekend Philippe Clement would be at the end of the road if he couldn't beat Motherwell, but he did. Does that roll on, or is that different because it's Europa League, it's away, it's harder? How are you feeling about tomorrow? Obviously got 6 points on the board already as well, so a real chance of doing something in the competition. Give us a call right now. Pick your team as well. We'll get the latest personnel update from Andrew there. But in the meantime, let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. I have to say, we have just witnessed a hilarious Champions League incident during the break. We're watching Bruges against Villa. Bruges now lead a goal to nil thanks to a penalty given when Martinez rolled the ball to Tyrone Mings in the box, and Tyrone Mings, for whatever reason, picked it up. And the referee, quite understandably, pointed to the spot.
He actually looked shocked, the referee, didn't he?
I didn't know
what he just witnessed.
And Bruce scored the penalty. I mean, clearly Tyrone Mings thinks the ball's not in play.
Yeah,
I don't really know why.
We haven't really seen it back yet to see, you know, what he thought had happened if the ball had rolled on the pitch, but quite clearly it got past him and he decided to roll it back with his hands.
Fully picked it up though.
That's what I mean. So casually picked it up and just threw it back to him. Like, here you go, mate.
Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit with Samuel from Balloch. How are you, Samuel?
Good evening, guys.
Are you making your debut tonight, or have you done this before?
No, I've not done it before. No, good, it's not
good. Do you usually fare okay when you're playing along at home?
So-so.
I like this. Samuel's keeping his cards close to his chest. It was good to see Hugh Keevans. Nothing personal. Losing last night, we just needed a victory. For the listeners, it was their first win in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Last night, yeah. Mm-hmm. So don't embarrass yourselves tonight,
guys.
You
get Simon to be back to back Wednesday.
I won last week.
It could well be.
That's true.
Convincingly.
Heads, it will be Simon, and tails, it will be Marvin Bartley. And it's heads again. Yes. Simon Donnelly up against Samuel.
Come on, Samuel.
So, what we do here, he's a big music buff, as Simon Donnelly, so he loves this. 30 seconds where we let him listen to something else. Samuel, you have that 30 seconds to answer as many as you can, and you are more than welcome to pass and move through the questions if you so wish. Okay?
Yep, no problem.
You're a good man. The 30 seconds goes on that clock, and your time starts now. How many Rangers players were in the Scotland squad announced this week?
Two.
Who did Nicholas Kuhn sign from?
Leipzig.
At what stadium did Falkirk play their home games until 2003?
Pass.
Who was the last English player to win PFA Scotland's Player of the Year award?
Pass.
What was the name of Partick Thistle's mascot?
Oh, pass.
Who was the last Greek player to play for Rangers? That's a brutal one. That is a tough question. Let's bring Simon back. Simon, can you hear us? Simon, you back?
Yes. You're
nodding your head. Good. Okay. Yep. Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. How many Rangers players were included in the Scotland squad this week?
Two.
Who did Nicholas Kuhn sign from?
Oh, pass.
At what stadium did Falkirk play their home games until 2003?
Rockville.
Who was the last English player to win PFA Scotland's Player of the Year award?
Pass.
What is the name of Partick Thistle's mascot?
Pass.
Who was the last Greek player to play for Rangers?
No.
That's the worst performance on Beat the Pundit since a man dressed as a giant chicken fell off his seat. Did you see that last week, by the way?
Oh, hilarious. I tuned in to, because I'd seen it in Willow's Instagram, and I tuned in live for, and he's honestly knowing about the floor there.
Do you know you've actually got, I saw you looking at it. Do you know what this is? Have you figured it out? This is Gordon DL's commemorative mug. So basically,
why did John give me that?
Because on this side, this takes us back to his famous answer when we asked what the where Dubai was.
Yeah,
and he said this was around the time. Remember Celtic went to Dubai. Remember that whole thing?
Yes. What was his
answer?
There was
quite a lot said about it. He said that Dubai was in the United States of the Arabs. So someone got him a mug with that made on it, and then I think there was another one.
What's the reference to PSV?
Well, again, I think he said in what city would you find the team PSV? And he said Amsterdam. So there's PSV Amsterdam on that side. Anyway,
so I'm drinking out his mug.
You're drinking out his washed. Mug. I don't know how that makes you feel. Samuel, how do you think it went from your side?
They were pretty solid, man.
They were tough tonight.
Oh, wow.
I have to say.
Oh.
Oh, have you got Simon down for a defeat?
I have myself down for a defeat.
If he's not, then wow.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's quite difficult question.
They are tough tonight, I thought.
What was difficult if you don't know?
How many Rangers players were in the Scotland squad this week? We had Suter and Barron. You both got it. Well done to you too. Well done, Nicholas Kuhn signed from Rapid Vienna.
So he did.
Remember I said we had the Austrian guy on earlier on.
Did Samuel get that one?
Doesn't sound like it.
No, he did not. No. Brockville is the home of Falkirk. Simon Donnelly got that.
Yeah, he sounds younger than me.
He goes 2-1 up. None of you knew that the last Englishman to win the PFA Scotland was Tavernier. Yeah, none of you got it. Partick Thistle's mascot. This question, I'd say this comes on every 2 months.
What's it start with?
The pundit. Key. Kingsley.
Nah.
None of you got it. This is tricky. This is tricky? Tricky?
tricky.
That was a combination of sneaky and tricky. The last Greek player to play for Rangers, after Samuel ran out of time and he passed, he said, oh, was it Kyriakos or something? Which would have been a good shout, except it's Anistis Argyrou. Exactly.
Oh, him.
Remember that time when Rangers were just collecting players from all sorts of corners of the globe?
How's he won?
Have I got another victory?
It's the ugliest win.
No, it's his last ugly win.
Trademark.
Oh man.
Trademark. Have I beat Samuel
hard.
There?
Samuel, they were hard, mate.
Yeah,
I'll give 2-1. You that.
2-1. You really are the master of the ugly victory, though, aren't you?
It's that focus, it's that knowledge, see?
Brockville.
It's good being
on. Yeah. Advantages of.
Awful, awful, awful. Samuel, you're a Rangers fan?
I am indeed, yep.
What are you thinking tomorrow then? How much does it matter, if that's the right way of putting it? What's riding on this one?
I don't really think there's much riding on it. I think it's just probably just wanting a performance, to be fair, after everything that's happened the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, what do you think? Because, again, I keep referencing it just because of where Rangers were at in the eyes of fans and after Pittodrie. Mm-hmm. You recovered from that last week, being in here until 11 o'clock at night.
Just
with Hugh Keevans.
Had a few naps this week.
Then obviously going on to the weekend.
I think I was listening to you on the way back. Was that after this?
Oh yeah, it would
game,
have been. Yeah. Again, where everyone, a lot of people said if he can't beat Motherwell in the semi-final, he has to go. And they did. But I presume this is not quite that, because you know, there's not going to be any shame in not beating Olympiakos away. Samuel says performance. The Rangers still then what? Obviously look to get something, but just try and avoid a disaster. Because if it was to be heavy, then Philippe Clement would still get the stick, wouldn't he?
I think Rangers need to go out there and play to the best of their ability. I think that's what, you know, Samuel and the rest of the Rangers fans will want. To go out there and put a performance on, to say, do you know what, if we do lose this game of football, it's because we've been outdone by a team that also performed to the best of their ability. Not to be out there and, you know, give it a 6 or 7 out of 10, because, you know, Rangers fans have had enough of seeing that. They want to see something. They want to see the players fight for the shirt. They want to see them go out there and play with pride. And as I said, there's a way of losing games by going out on your shield. If you do that, I don't think there'll be a single problem from any Rangers fan. But if you do anything less than that, then rightfully so, they're going to pull the players up on it, because so far this season, even when they have been winning games, they haven't seen enough on enough occasions. And that's the important thing tomorrow. Not necessarily about the result. I think it's just about the performance. How much can you actually put into this game and at least be able to walk off that pitch with your head held high?
Well, look, there might not be many high points this season, but Malmo would be one. And I know Bucharest weren't great, but still, any 4-0 victory goes down as a high point. You know, because of those points already in the board, Samuel, there is scope there to go and actually do something in this competition. But you still feel like everyone's focused domestically?
Because you reach the highs of Seville and stuff like that, like we've kind of done really well in Europe, and I think everybody's eyes is always turned to domestically. And I think because you're doing so bad domestically, it kind of, that's where you want the improvement to be. I think Europe's kind of a back burner because we've not done so well domestically for so long. I think that's the main focal point we want to improve on, obviously.
We had our Greek expert last night talking about actually Olympiakos. They're not in a brilliant place, and there's a lot of negativity. However, they are managing to they're managing to sort of get their act together in Europe. So domestically they're struggling a bit.
Same points as Rangers on the table, I think.
Yeah, they beat Braga and they beat Malmo as well, and lost to Lyon. So there's been a bit of a crossover in the opponents there. So again, it's difficult. we've fallen into this habit now of different managers, different Rangers players always saying that maybe just Europe suits them a bit better, just based on the fact that they've had some big results. I don't know. Is that going to be something stylistically that?
I don't know. I think just as Marvin says there, I think the Rangers fans out there will be looking for some sort of performance, some sort of progression from the weekend's second half, let's say. You know, the guys that came in and they got over the line at the weekend, there was a slight improvement from that first half. I don't think, we talk about the pressure, I don't think it's as, you know, do or die for Philippe Clement in the sense that it's away in Europe. I think he'll get cut a little bit more slack, providing it's not a horrendous evening and the players show some sort of improvement, because again, they've got a big one domestically at the weekend. Yeah, I just think as long as the roof doesn't cave in and they come away with a terrible result, I think if the fans see some sort of improvement, Danilo obviously isn't in the squad, so I think a lot of the Rangers fans were looking at his performance at the weekend and seeing if he can build on that. I think he probably started the weekend for them. But the guys who are in the 11 tomorrow, they just need to bring something that shows there's an improvement there for the Rangers fans.
Yeah, that is one thing, because there are a couple of players, and Danilo would be chief among them, that not in that European squad. So that sort of encouragement from the weekend is going to have to wait for another day.
Yeah, after, as Simon said, till he's able to play again, which will be at the weekend against Hearts. So, you know, it gives Dessa the opportunity to go out there and really show that he is the main number nine. I think his form has dipped slightly. I think his all-round game has dipped slightly over the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks. So, again, he's another player that needs to put in a really, really big performance. And, you know, as we said there, Simon said, you know, it's not about, you know, losing the game. If you lose a game, that can happen. It's just about, you know, the manner of the defeat.
Lose it in the right way.
Yeah, exactly. And they need to go out there, and as I said, you know, with their heart on their sleeves, because I think, you know, Rangers fans have been missing that pride across the board from their players.
All right, thank you to Sam. You'll give us a call, 01419511025. You agreeing or disagreeing with what you're hearing, Rangers fans? What is tomorrow all about then? Give us your thoughts, your feelings ahead of it. You can pick your team as well. Let us know, are you leaving James Tavernier out? Interestingly, I see obviously that debate sort of cranked up a bit at the weekend, because he came off earlier than normal in a big game and Rangers looked good afterwards. Let's go live to Greece whilst you get your calls in.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Okay, Andrew McLean is out there. He's been at the press conference. Give us the inside track, Andrew.
Yeah, just finished up speaking to Philippe Clement and Nico Raskin, who was the player up for press duties today. The big news coming out of Rangers is another injury problem for them. We saw Tom Lawrence, he limped off at the weekend in that cup semi-final against Motherwell. Well, Philippe Clement says that he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So it's another sort of, you know, mid to longer term injury that Rangers are going to have to deal with. He's, of course, been, you know, a key player for Philippe Clement this season. He's played in that number 10 role, but limping off, hasn't travelled, and probably will now be a doubt for the cup final come, what's that, the 15th of December as well. So that's going to be a big blow for Philippe Clement. So I suppose it's about how, you know, how he changes things around. Is it a case of Mohamed Diomande? Does he play in that role? Does Nedim Bahrami, who seemingly his natural position is the number 10 role, and then put a winger out wide? It remains to be seen what Philippe Clement will do tomorrow night, but certainly a big one. Tom Lawrence out for 4 to 6 weeks.
What was the general sort of mood then, or tone or direction of questions? Because again, we've been speaking here about the weekend and how for many people, I'm not saying it was accurate, but for many people that would have been like the final straw if things hadn't gone to plan. Europe's obviously a tougher test, it's away from home. What was the overall kind of feeling in there?
Yeah, it's not only a tougher test, but I think when you look at not just Rangers this season, but Rangers over previous seasons, that they tend to show up on European nights quite a lot, especially in the Europa League, of course. So there maybe is just a different mood coming into this game. It is, of course, a tough opposition. You look at this stadium here, it's maybe not as big as you'd think. 33,000 fans will be in here. It's a sellout, but they make some noise in this stadium. So Philippe Clement says he thinks that his players have what it takes to handle the occasion. I spoke to a local journalist earlier on, was just asking what he thinks the atmosphere will be like tomorrow night, and he said it will be like the devil was the quote from him. So it's going to be loud, it's going to be hostile, it's going to be fierce, but Philip Clement is backing his players to be able to deal with that. He says that the noise at Ibrox is always loud, that they're used to it. He says, yes, they have some players that are maybe a bit more inexperienced, but he thinks that they'll be able to deal with it. And as I say, it maybe just is that flip between European football and domestic football. This maybe does give Philippe Clement and the Rangers players a bit of reprieve because it's a tougher opposition. A draw, a defeat isn't quite the disaster it would be at domestic level. But then you look to this weekend and Rangers play last out of all the teams at the top of the table. Of course, Celtic and Aberdeen way ahead of Rangers. If Aberdeen win on Saturday, if Celtic win on Sunday afternoon, and Rangers then have a big job to do on Sunday at home to Hearts. So it could be critical at that point, but you just feel the mood is maybe slightly different when it comes to these European nights.
What do you think the position sits on James Tavernier? Because a lot of debate always about him on the show, but particularly at the moment, anything said on that topic?
Yeah, a huge decision to make. It wasn't so much about James Tavernier being spoken about. He was asked about Dujon Sterling. He, of course, came on, looked as if he made a difference on Sunday when he played. But Philip Clement saying that he doesn't think Dujon Sterling is ready to play 90 minutes yet. So you wonder, is that the mind made up of Philip Clement? Is it going to be James Tavernier that starts again, despite the fact that he and Cyril Dessers were taken off after poor performances on Sunday? Could it be Noratio Casemiro that goes out to that right side? But I think certainly there will be a lot of debate over the next 24 hours about whether James Tavernier starts in that game. A few fans I spoke to out and about today, certainly not hoping that the captain is in the starting lineup, but he tends to be more often than not, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him start here this game tomorrow night.
I am no sports scientist, Marvin, and I may be being unfair because I'm sure there is an inevitable period where players who come back from injury have to have their minutes managed. I don't doubt that, but it just feels like, so tell me if I'm wrong, it feels like there is always an awful lot of emphasis from Philippe Clement on who can't play 90 minutes. I feel like you hear it all the time. Maybe it's just because they have so many injuries.
Yeah, it does seem extremely common. But, you know, if you go back to the start of the season or to the summer, and Philippe Clement says he's going to be, you know, in better charge of the injuries, and he hopes not to have as many as they've had, you know, in previous seasons. You know, so maybe that is down to now trying to manage the players' minutes. It can be frustrating for a player, though, because you want to play. You know, there's no doubt about it. Sterling will want to be in that starting lineup tomorrow. And if he can only play 70, 80 minutes and needs to come off, so be it, rather than being on the bench. But as you said, you know, sports scientists do give the manager a steer on where to go. And listen, as I said, nobody wants to have injured players. So the last thing he'll want to do, I imagine, is put Sterling in there, start him to get injured after 60 minutes and then be told he shouldn't have been out there.
What's the local feeling, Andrew? They are not having a brilliant time domestically. They're doing fairly well in Europe. Is this a game they expect to win? What should Rangers fans look out for on the pitch?
Yeah, I sense that confidence levels are high amongst the locals. I think it can be a similar story to Rangers, for maybe domestically they're not putting in the performances and getting the results that the fans would want, but something seems to switch on European nights for them. You look at their results, it almost kind of matches Rangers in terms of what they've done so far in their Europa League campaign. They did lose to Lyon, they also beat Malmo, but a big 3-0 win over Braga was a big one. But you also look at the pedigree of them in Europe and their manager in Europe, because they won the Conference League last season. They beat Fiorentina in the final with their manager coming in February, leading them to that trophy. The season before, he came in late in the season at Sevilla and won the Europa League with them as well. So he's a manager who's a real specialist in European competition. He knows how to win games in the Europa League. And certainly the supporters here will be full of confidence that they can go out, get that victory, because they're on the same number of points as Rangers. So if there is a team that wins tomorrow night, it will pretty much be them confirmed that they'll be in the knockout stages with half the game still to go of the group stage.
That Tom Lawrence injury, Simon, Rangers are in a weird place, right? Because nobody's flavour of the month. Everybody's got their critics, and people might be saying, oh, this is fine, because actually it might mean Barami can play his natural position. But Rangers aren't in a situation where they can afford to keep having first team members of the squad out injured. You know, he did score the only goal in the win against Hibs. He did score the only goal in the win against Dundee United. Did he set them on their way in the Bucharest game? I think he did.
Yeah.
So it's another 4 to 6 weeks, and at this time of the year, that's a lot of football.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not ideal at all. And you know, we sit on here and scratch our head with the Rangers team, because there's no real settled 11 at all. He's trying to get players in there, trying to find form, trying to get minutes for players. It's not an ideal scenario going into a European night. He's another blow. because he's an experienced one. You've just rhymed off three or four goals there that he's scored. So to lose him, it maybe give the other lad a chance to come in. The one for me is Tavernier. I thought he was way off at the weekend. He was passing energy wise, whereas I think Stelling brings an energy to the Rangers team. So that'll be an interesting one. It's a big call, obviously, with your skipper. So it'll be interesting to see what 11 Claymont goes with.
Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. What do you think, Rangers fans? How big a blow is Tom Lawrence's injury? How would you get around it? Would you play James Tavernier? What does tomorrow mean? It's all there. Give us the answers and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here, both asking for your reactions to last night, your thoughts ahead of tomorrow night, and anything else that you might have up your sleeve. Get them in on the phones or on Twitter. We've got a good full time teaser for you, very topical, thanks to Grant in Uddingston. Here is an opening to a full time teaser I've never used before. Since the 2000 US presidential election. Seriously. Can you want to give us your thoughts on that stuff, or we just move on?
No, cool. Definitely not.
Can you name the 10 USA internationals who've made a European appearance for Celtic or Rangers? I'm interested in Grant's specific wording there. Are there ones that played domestically, not in Europe? Anyway, don't
since
blame
when?
Me.
Since 2000?
Since the 2000 US presidential election.
I'm like Edu, whatever his name
Can
is.
You
Edu,
name the 10 USA internationals to make a European appearance?
Did you want that?
For Celtic or Rangers?
Edu.
Maurice Edu, well done to you. Yep.
Bocanegra, was that a different
one? Yes. It includes qualifiers, by the way, but anyway.
Carter Vickers.
Yeah, a fairly easy one.
Oh, trusty.
Yeah, there we go. That's 4 of 10 already. So you're flying since the 2000 US presidential election. Can you name the 10 American internationals to make European appearances for Celtic or Rangers? Mm. What Grant did there is he came up with the question and he emailed it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. They don't have to be linked to famous worldwide elections. They can be linked to whatever you like. But get your thinking caps on and send them in, please. Let's go to the phones, where I think Craig is waiting us. Craig, how are you?
I'm not too bad, yourselves.
Not bad, Craig. What does tomorrow mean, if that's the right word? What are you thinking about it in terms of where Rangers are at currently?
I think we always perform better in Europe than we do in domestic league, because we're playing against teams who play open football, and I think that suits us a bit better. I don't want to give one of the answers away this time.
No, don't.
No, go on.
No.
Speak your mind, Craig.
Craig that gave us an answer last week.
It must have been. Yeah. I'm surprised didn't strike him off.
I won't say any this time.
What do you?
I think tomorrow Rangers need to just get a performance in again. I think we perform better in Europe than we do domestically, because we're not spying against a low block.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've seen it before. I don't think it's like always a guarantee. I mean, obviously, to use the most blunt domestic example, Celtic don't sit in a low block. It's not like as long as Rangers come up against a team that leaves spaces, they're successful. But it's undeniable that there have been times, again, not always, but there have been times over the last few years that even when things aren't going well domestically, they can dig something out in Europe.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we've seen them turn on the kind of best performances, as Craig's saying there, in Europe. And tomorrow they need that again, more than ever for me, because, you know, as Craig said, domestically they haven't been great in terms of performances. They obviously sit 9 points behind the top two, as we know. So yeah, they need a massive performance. I would like to see Rangers go into a 4-3-3 tomorrow. And I've said this since the start of the season. I don't think they suit having a number 10. As good as Tom Lawrence has been, I don't think Diomande's a 10. I think you saw with Barron at the weekend, you know, getting forward and getting the assist, his running power would be better used for me as a number 8, and Diomande doing the same, and then Raskin holding, because one thing I think Rangers lack is athleticism, you know, throughout the team. I think those two offer that in abundance, you know, played in the right positions.
He was asked about a potential formation change. I think maybe it had been Friday's press conference. There are so many. It was recently, and he basically said no.
Oh, perfect.
If I'm being honest. That's not... Listen, sometimes managers keep their cards close to their chest. But people, I think, were surprised that he was so, you know, committal about not doing it. Simon just said, you know, to try and.
I just think, as Marv says there, without getting into too much about what formation, I think they just need some sort of energy in their team. Now, the Rangers fans out there won't like me harking on about the Celtic team, but they bring in energy. You watched Rangers against Aberdeen last week. Run more, be aggressive, fight more for the ball. They improved in the second half, but they're the polar opposite to what you're looking at in the Celtic team just now. You're looking for an energy there. I like the lad Cherney on the side. I think he's popped up with some decent goals.
I think he's 5-5 at the moment.
He's in decent form. But an all-round energy to the team. And I thought their skipper at the weekend, somebody described it as having the weight of the world on your shoulders. He did. He was passing the ball out the park. He was making mistakes that you wouldn't necessarily expect from him. Whether he starts tomorrow. But I would, you know, Craig, the caller there, he's looking for a performance. If I was the Rangers fan there, I'd be looking for more energy at my team, more fight.
What does matter tomorrow, Craig, then? Does the result matter? The performance, both, what matters?
A bit of both. I think, I mean, a draw would be a good result in Olympiacos for any team, to be honest. But I think, as you say, performance is probably paramount, but I think there needs to be a lot of changes. I think Sterling needs to play right back. I think we need to put Cassian Wersio at left back and move Yefti up a position and bring Bayrami into the number 10 position where he can do his what he's brought in to do.
Well, Philippe Clement, said tonight that Dejan Sterling is not ready to play 90 minutes. What do you make of that comment?
90 minutes. Yeah, maybe not 90 minutes, but he could maybe do the first 60.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair.
And then bring somebody else in.
James Tavernier on for the last half an hour.
Rather than, at least if Tavernier comes on near the end. Because Tavernier's strength has always been able to go up and down the wing 90 minutes. And he doesn't have that in him anymore, I don't think. I think age has caught up with him, unfortunately. And I'm not getting a dig in at James Tavernier. I think he's been a brilliant servant for Rangers, but at the same time, every good thing needs to come to an end.
I think it's all become a bit more of a real debate, Marvin. You know, there was a time when it was all kind of lashing out and it was, he's never a Rangers captain, and Richard Gough would have grabbed people by the scruff of the neck, and all became a bit abstract, and you're thinking, does that really make a difference? Now, though, surely we're in the territory where there are legitimate questions to say, is he the best right-back option you have at the club? Because, again, even in amongst all these peaks and troughs, he was always just the best right-back at the club.
Yeah.
Even though some people wouldn't see it. But is he currently? As in, is he for tomorrow?
I think so. And listen, I get what people are saying. You know, at the end of the day, he's a captain of the football club. In terms of his performance, he'll be the first to admit that, you know, at the weekend he wasn't good enough, and deservedly he came off the pitch, and maybe he needed that kind of shot to his system to know that he's not untouchable because he is the captain. He's always posted ridiculous numbers in terms of assists and goals, and they've dried up. So all of a sudden, you know, that's going to be questioned as well, and rightfully so. But the numbers he was posting were absolutely ridiculous. But he has to show that he deserves to be the number one. I think for the longevity he's had that position, and for me, I know a lot of Rangers fans, or some Rangers fans, will disagree. I think he's performed at a good enough level for the, you know, the vast majority of his time there. But he has to show again that he can fight off, you know, the players who are trying to get that shirt off him, i.e. a Sterling, because he's got a real fight in his hands probably for the first time since being at Rangers.
Again, more than happy to be educated, and it doesn't seem like too hard to understand, because if you have been out for a while, it would take a step-by-step approach. However, if you are a layman like me, and I think a lot of the Rangers fans will be wondering, Dejan Sterling is not back in the squad suddenly tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He came on for half an hour against Motherwell. He came on for 45 minutes against Aberdeen. And he came on for the last 5 or 10 minutes against St Mirren. That's quite a sizable, is that not quite a sizable amount of football to still, black and white, be ruled out from playing 90 minutes?
I think it's more than
enough. It should be the fourth game back.
Yeah, it's more than enough football for me, for him to play. And I think Sterling will tell you exactly the same. Again, we don't know who's making this decision, whether it is Clement who says, you might have a set rule that you have to train for a certain amount of weeks if you've been out for a certain amount of time. I've been at clubs when that's the case. But I think, you know, it's needs must for them. And if you believe that Sterling is the best player to start in whatever position he decides to put him or thinks he can put him, then he can start tomorrow. Adrenaline gets you through matches. As you said, he's played more than enough minutes now. If he gets to the 78th minute, as Craig says there, take him off.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, start. But he's good enough to start and he's fit enough to start. So yeah, I'm not buying that, Gordon.
I agree with Craig and Marv there. You know, if they feel that the performances will improve the team, I would start with him. He brings what I was speaking about there, getting about the pitch. He brings an athleticism to the team. Sterling had a positive impact at the weekend. If it's a case of minutes, and you know, then our sanctum at Rangers will know better than us. But why not start him? And then you know, if he flags later on, then you can freshen up.
I mean, this is a guy. We're in the presence of a guy who's got a sore calf and is thinking he's going to make it to play in the Masters next week.
Yeah, he's lucky I'm not playing. I'd have kicked you right on that.
Old school. Old school. Fine.
Just
old
a bit of
deep heat.
Bit of winter green on it.
Imagine it. WD-40.
I can't believe you brought that up, Gordon. I'm trying to keep my
If I'm showing a weakness.
It's his right one, if anyone's listening.
I'm sure Jermaine Defoe is shuddering at the thought of a fully
stay away
fit
from him.
Simon
Donnelly. Like I did with Marv. Pick your opponents.
Anyway, let's thank Craig and bring in Lorraine and see what she has on us. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
It's just the whole, see the whole Tavernier Dessers thing. Like, I've been a fan of Dessers from the get-go. And obviously, in terms of Tav as well, I kind of feel like with Tav, it's probably not his fault he's still at the club. The board didn't sell him when they should have. And it's only, I guess it's physiological that the guy's going to, like, you know, drop that yard in pace and his legs are going to go. The manager keeps picking him. There's obviously a reason for that. Then at the weekend, him and Dessers get subbed. And it's this big, massive thing about how they should never start again, yada, yada, yada. But I feel like people are forgetting that it wasn't just a week and a half ago when it was the St Mirren game, I'm sure it was, and the two of them didn't start. And then we were absolutely howling in the first half. Two of them came on, made an impact, and all of a sudden it was great because the two of them had come on and made a difference. So I kind of feel like there's always this big deal about Tavernier because he's the total whipping boy. But see, at the same time, like I agree with, you know, like the previous caller when he's saying about how he's been a great servant of the club. Couldn't agree more. And his time is probably coming to an end, so therefore Sterling is like the next in line, but he's not always been there. And again, that's down to the board and whoever's kind of came before. Like, they should have had somebody in to replace him so that he was kind of coming in and Tav wasn't playing so much football. And then you look at, in terms of the goals, we're not scoring this season at all. If it's no Dessers, it's really anybody. So we're missing like the goals that Tav did score. And I think people should maybe realise what he actually brought when he was scoring the goals, because they're not there now. And we've not got what he gave us in the past. So I feel like the abuse he gets is so frustrating. And I think it's quite disgusting, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think in terms of tomorrow, I think of course he'll start and of course Dessers will start. So I feel like for me, there's not really a question.
I think it's a fair defence, a lot of fairness in there. The St Mirren game is a good reference point where, you know, the grass wasn't necessarily greener in the first half without them.
Yeah, no, exactly that. Lorraine makes a lot of good points there. And it does happen, you know, when Tav, as I said earlier, when he posts the numbers that he has posted, you know, people always look for him, and to use Lorraine's word, to be the whipping boy when things aren't going quite so right. And you're right, they are missing his goals now, because they're realising that if it's not Dessers, you know, Anacioni's chipped him with a couple of goals and so is Lawrence. But they've got a real lack of, you know, goal-scoring threat now at this moment in time, Rangers. So, yeah, listen, but again, you know, everyone's time does come to an end, and, you know, there should have probably been a plan in place when someone was going to, you know, come in and replace Tavernier and maybe start to manage his minutes. But it almost seems that he's been played and played and played where he's looked fatigued, and then all of a sudden, you know, now people are starting to question him, where he probably should have been looked after a little bit better. If Clement's talking about minutes of other players, maybe Tavernier should have been one of the ones that he looked at as well.
What are your overall thoughts sort of on the game, Lorraine, and Rangers' chances and what it means?
I mean, personally, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it, because we always go out there and do well in Europe. So that's just kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that it carries on with the same vein.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Lorraine. And Kilmarnock making some good points. Give us a call. It's the perfect time for you to do so as well. We can go back to Celtic if you wish. Celtic fans, reflect a bit more on last night. Grant in Uddingston asks, since the 2000 US presidential election, can you name the 10 American internationals to make a European appearance for Celtic or Rangers? Quite easy to go Carter Vickers and Trusty last night. Carlos Bocanegra and Morris Edu.
Reyna.
Claudio Reyna, yes.
Where? Did Timothy where?
Timothy, I thought you were saying where. I don't know. I don't have the match details.
Yeah, I've got a real random Timothy one here. Where, okay. And I don't know if I just made up this guy who ever played for Celtic in goal. Is his name like Marcus Hamonen? Did he ever play in goal for Celtic?
Who on earth is he on about? Magnus Hedman, the Swedish guy?
No.
Hamonen? There was MC Hammer.
There was an American goalkeeper. Nah, I think he played at Reading. The old guy. Did he never play for Celtic?
I honestly have no idea what you're on about.
I'm going to look him up.
Okay.
Who's the lad played at the back for Rangers? Gerrard's time.
Yep.
What's his name? Wasn't there a while? Wasn't there long?
Signed from an English team.
I don't know. I've gave you enough there.
The guy that played with Gerrard are perfect.
I'd say he probably outlasted Gerrard, did he? Yeah, maybe.
What's his name again? Say so. How many have we got? Six.
You've got six. Yes. Okay, I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly. A good teaser tonight. Since the 2000 US presidential election, can you name the 10 American internationals to make a European appearance for Celtic or Rangers? Cameron Carter-Vickers and Austin Trusty. You had to go all the way back to last night. A bit further back for Timothy Weah. Then even further for Carlos Bocanegra and Morris Edu. And all the way back to Claudio Reyna. That means you've got four to get, I think. Did you get any during the break?
Go on, sorry.
Sands.
James Sands. Well done. Okay. That's his name. Three to get.
That's a lot. Can't even think.
Oh, nothing at all?
No.
That's
now.
A worry. Okay. The three remaining are all ex-Rangers players.
Right.
One is not that far back at all, maybe like two seasons ago. And then, yeah, let's deal with that one first and then we'll see how we get on.
Right. Deal with that one, Marvin.
Hold on. Let me think. Might even have scored in the Champions League last night.
Oh.
I'd need to check. Something's ringing as if he did. Let me double check for you. I think he might have. I think, yes, he did. Look at that. Pulled that from somewhere.
Tillman.
Yes.
Oh,
Simon Donnelly.
Papa.
Scored 4-0 PSV Eindhoven against Girona. So you've got your PSV mug.
Yeah.
Tonight.
There you go. Nice. It's a sign. It's a sign.
Two to get. Don't forget, if you are just joining us or you've missed the rest of tonight's show, you can catch up on the podcast as always. We always put the podcast out wherever you get your podcasts. And a big thank you to the 453 of you who got in touch with me today to tell me that there was a problem with last night's podcast. Ricky was one of them. MCG67 was one of them. There was honestly so many got in touch on Twitter, on Instagram, everywhere to say that there was some sort of malfunction on the podcast last night. So if what I'm led to believe is accurate, the last 11 minutes of the podcast, we were talking to Gordon DL about how he was never going to get home in time because of the fireworks at Strathclyde Park.
Yeah.
Really busy, and he was going to have to go right past it. The last 11 minutes of the podcast was just this on loop. Takes you at 9:30 to get up to the house.
I'll be screaming. Just in time for Gogglebox. I know the back row's shoe. Don't worry about that. I'm in the back row's shoe. Don't worry about that. I'm in the back row's shoe. Don't
just stuck it there.
I'm in the back row's shoe. Don't worry about that. I'm in the back row's shoe. Don't worry about that. I'm in the back row's shoe.
Oh, 11 minutes.
What, just that one? That one?
People said they were like turning their cars off and on again. They were like turning their computers off, their phones, everything. Like, what is going on here? Some sort of malfunction in the podcast. Way above my head.
The back road's got to the point.
Well, exactly. I don't know if we could maybe get a wee GBX remix or something. Let's see if we can.
Don't worry about it. I'm in the back row. Don't worry about it. I'm in the back row.
You'll end up going to Christmas number one.
I'm in the back row.
I'm definitely going to need to play that for him and Mark Wilson tomorrow. But I thought I would. I thought I would just update everyone on it first, but I'll see what he thinks about it tomorrow. And I have to say,
Christmas
it ended
number one
brilliantly, because the whole it all came around because he rushes out the studio before the music's even finished.
Doesn't hang about.
Ridiculous.
Oh really?
Oh, like honestly, so gone. So the live stream,
not even a cheery.
The live stream's still on, and his chair's just empty.
It's off,
and he's gone. So I was kind of half winding him up, but I actually thought there would be a chance it would come true. I thought the fireworks will be coming out at that time. Yeah. It's mobbed in that area, honestly, because it's so busy. I was absolutely delighted. My phone went at 9 o'clock last night, and he goes, "I'm still in Bell's Hill. I can't get home. Stuck. I've tried to go this way. I've been back on the motorway. I've been this, I've been that."
Oh, the back roads weren't working.
I was delighted. I have to say, absolutely delighted. Anyway, maybe time to squeeze a call in if we can. Let's see if we've got anything on there. Paul is on. Paul, let's sort of round off the night where we started on Celtic last night. How good was it?
Hi, panel. Hi.
Hello. Hi, mate.
Marvin. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Paul.
I think Celtic played absolutely fantastic. I think it's the best performance since Brendan Rodgers' team against Man City at Celtic Park in 2016. The way Celtic took the game to that kind of opposition in a Champions League, phenomenal. I don't think I've seen anything like it since. And it was a real team effort from Schmeichel making some fantastic saves. The defence being solid, midfield creating chances, scoring great goals, showing resilience to come back from a goal down. That's the best performance I've seen since.
Yeah, I mean, how did you feel pre-match, Paul? Were you sort of thinking that this could be a really tough night? Or did you feel Celtic had that in them?
I thought it'd be a hard night. I think we've been having some great performances against Aberdeen. We had a real tough time against Atalanta. Would I put my money on to go 3-1 from 1-0 down? No. Did I think it was going to be hard after we went 1-0 down? Aye. But the guys dug in, and again, that's what I'm saying. That's the performance. They showed resilience and they got it, and they done the job, and they really dominated it.
Who was your man of the match? There's so many. Who was the absolute standout for you, though?
I think he was an unsung hero against Aberdeen, and I need to say Hatate. He really, really deserved that line down at the end. I think he was absolutely fantastic. I really do. I think he, I don't know, if Bernardo and Engels and what have you coming into the team, he's really upped his game. But again, his work rate's phenomenal right now, and long may it continue.
Do you have a bit of everything? Is that ultimately what helps? You know, because if we would sort of accept in Scottish football, you'll get guys that have maybe got a bit of technical ability, but physicality's lacking, or vice versa, but it just feels like...
With Hatate talking about... Yeah.
Certainly for our level, we're now seeing European level, and who knows, but it feels like there's a well-rounded game there.
Yeah, he's a proper player, and he's one that you looked in nights like last night, where he can see things opening up. As I said earlier on, his awareness is really good. His fitness is really good, his technique. And as I said earlier in the show, I'm really interested to see what the chemistry was with Brendan in recent times, because, you know, when he's at it, which, you know, in the last two games, he certainly has been. And as Paul says there, it's in a strong part of the Celtic team. So you have to be at the top of your game, but he was a star performer for me.
Thank you very much to Paul. Some good points well made. Now on to Kilmarnock on Sunday for Celtic. Speaking of which, you know, I was actually speaking to a Kilmarnock player today that was slaughtering you, by the way. Marvin Bartley, yeah,
Bruce
absolutely.
Anderson.
No, I'm not saying who it was. Well, you'll know who it was, and you're probably right. But he said that he said that when he was just a young, innocent Hamilton player, you punched him. Absolute animal. He says you punched him, and
during
it was
a game.
Yep, and it was so weak, and he just stood and looked at you, just took your hardest blow.
Do you know what actually happened?
And embarrassed you. That's what he said.
Let me give you the real story in 10 seconds. What he did, he elbowed me off the ball and then in the face. So as he turned, I've retaliated and he doubled up. That's what happened. And then he was my teammate, or he signed for Livingston, I think, that summer. So then we made mates. Oops.
What's happened? Oh, on the way.
Time's up. Time's up.
Who knows? Are we talking to ourselves? Can people hear us?
I think people can hear us.
I mean, the show was about to end, but I just don't think quite that quickly.
Is my story that bad?
I really liked it.
Producers just went like that.
I had enough of
this. Finish there.
We've still got two to get on the teaser. Former Rangers players who made a European appearance and they're American. Come on. We've got Carter Vickers, Trusty, Tillman, Sands, Wea, Bocanegra, Edu and Reyna.
How far are we going back?
One is kind of back in between Reyna and Edu, who's a winger.
Oh, that's going to be your era, sorry.
Previous clubs, any other clubs?
DeMarcus Beasley.
Oh, misery. Played for Fulham as well.
And
right?
The other one is a brutal one, Matt Polster.
No.
I've got no idea if the show's finished, I have to say. It sounds like it might be. It sounds like it might not be.
That was your story.
Yeah, if you're on the corner, you've got 10 seconds.
Blend the in. There's the music.
We'll be back tomorrow at 6. Thank you to Marvin and Simon.
Bye, guys.